And we move on to our last case, Whitman versus Nesek. Mr. Stern.
May it please the court. This case involves three strip searches that occurred in accordance with a random drug check at a state of Wisconsin prison, Racine Correctional Institution, the worst of which was on April 22nd of 1998, where the prisoner was awakened at approximately 3 o'clock in the morning and taken to a restroom, indicated that he could not produce a urine sample, and then was strip searched, and whereupon, as he was naked, he then the prison guard required him to produce a sample at that time. The action was brought under the Eighth Amendment ban against cruel and unusual punishment. It's our position that the court erred in dismissing the case for summary judgment. Let me first start out and indicate that there was over 200 findings of fact, many of which, on the part of the defendant, were things like, I really didn't intend to violate Mr. Whitman's constitutional rights. I wasn't reckless, and I really didn't stand around and make comments on his nakedness. Things of that nature. Our position is you can't disprove a negative here. These are purely conclusions. It's 101 civil procedure that you cannot, how can I disprove factually a negative when person says, I didn't intend to do something. I mean, a person could subject someone to, let's say, a Chinese water trick with the water dripping on someone's head and said, I really didn't really intend to violate constitutional rights. I wasn't reckless. I never made comments about it. I never really felt that I was violating any rules or standards. I think that places an impossible, in our view at least, burden on the Eighth Amendment. Secondly, with respect to whether there was a violation, it must be understood that this is based on really three things.
So how do you think this should have been handled?
How do I think?
If you were running a prison, yeah.
I think that if someone could not produce a sample, you would take them into a room with the same cup. You might strip search them in that room and away from everyone with privacy, then that sample would be provided, just as the rules of the prison indicate. I think that the state rules also prohibit strip searches for random drug testing. And the appendix...
So now what happened here that was different from that? So you say it's all right to have the strip search before the urine sample. So what went wrong here?
It was the requiring the person to stand naked for the 20 minutes to produce that sample in front of the guard, in front of other people.
You?
Time and the extra humiliation, the extra degradation that was unrelated.
Well, he's going to be strip searched. He's going to be standing naked, isn't he?
Yes, but in a room, not where the...
But there's, I mean, and there are going to be officers looking at him.
Not necessarily.
Well,
as a matter of fact, the rule says...
Alone, that
the rule...
Them by themselves.
There were three other people in the area that could have seen at least part of his nakedness. There was the guard, and not only that, but in the state rules and regulations that affect all state prisons, strip searching itself is not permitted in random drug testing. It is a body content search, which is simply supplying urine, breath, whatever. And so here in this case, you had the added humiliation. You had an action that was contrary to the state rules, contrary to the local rules of RCI, and contrary to Wisconsin case law. For example,
I thought you were complaining about the Eighth Amendment.
Yes, I am. And the state rules in the appendix state that strip searches are humiliating, degrading, and should only be undertaken when consistent with prison needs. And we're saying that the rule set
To do with the Eighth Amendment?
It set a minimum standard.
What do you mean?
It set the
Wisconsin
standard.
Rules set a minimum standard for the Eighth Amendment?
Yes. Okay. In this particular case, it did. Because it was so well researched. Because in the appendix to those rules, case law is cited indicating just what I just said, that you don't strip search someone and wait for them to produce a sample in the middle of the night like this, unless it's specifically related to the needs of the prison. And there's no indication that it was. As a matter of fact, it was totally gratuitous. And the case law
The rule is pretty ambiguous about this point?
Not at all. The rules say clearly, body content search. The rules were researched, and I think they're good rules, and I think they set the minimum standard. In our own circuit here, the Mary Beth G. case, the court said per se, strip search is humiliating, degrading, and intimidating, et cetera, et cetera. That does not mean that you can never do that. It just means that you ought to have a darn good reason related to prison needs before you gratuitously humiliate someone.
Was that strip search connected with an arrest, or was it a prison search?
Pardon me?
The case you just cited, the Mary Kay...
It was an arrest.
Isn't that a little different?
Yes.
For traffic violation, wasn't it?
Pardon me?
For traffic violation?
Yes. In Mary G., the difference would be that we expect a different level of privacy in a prison setting than we do in an arrest situation. In other words, the issue is there an exaggerated response to the prison needs, which is a lot different, you know, than an arrest. But the court does say that we look at these strip searches with suspicion. We go from there. And as well as Sparks in the Seventh Circuit, Johnson says in itself that most of the time you prove an Eighth Amendment violation by the circumstances. As a matter of fact, the court
wasn't one of these cases strip searching a transsexual prisoner, is that right?
Yes. Yeah.
That's pretty different from this case, isn't it?
I don't think when you talk about someone standing naked, being forced to stand there to produce a sample in the middle of the night, that there's differences in terms of degree.
Who was looking at him while he was standing there?
The prison guard and in the area, who could see at least from chest up other people.
Well, no one cares about being nude from the chest up. Men don't, anyway.
I think they do.
Oh, please.
I think that
have you ever seen a man at a beach who was wearing a top because he didn't want people to see his chest? Do you think there are a lot of shy men who would never go to a beach because...
No, I don't think you can compare a prison and 3 a.m. to someone at a beach, Judge.
Why not?
Because prison itself is coercion and forcing someone
now
to stand there.
Now you're saying people have greater privacy interest in a prison than on a beach.
I'm talking about forcing someone to do something. I'm not talking about...
I thought we were talking about, you know, the humiliation of having your body exposed to strangers.
I'm talking about that, but I'm also talking about the Eighth Amendment and our cases that say that we should be very skeptical. I'm also talking about the Judge Stadmiller, who actually handled the case in a motion to dismiss, that said that the forcing this person to stand the 20-minute period of time constitutes intimidation and harassment unrelated to prison needs. And that's what I believe it was. Change judges, the facts are no different, and we have a different result. And I don't think it's a just result.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Stern. Ms. Keckhaver?
May it please the court, I'm Wisconsin Assistant Attorney General Carla Keckhaver, and I represent the defendant appellees, who are two prison officials from the Racine Correctional Institution. The district court's decision granting summary judgment in favor of the defendants should be affirmed because the material facts of this case do not establish an Eighth Amendment violation, and in the alternative, the defendants are entitled to qualified immunity. During a routine urinalysis and strip search, Mr. Whitman had to stand unclothed for at the most 20 minutes until he could produce a urine sample. These undisputed facts do not establish either the objective or subjective components of an Eighth Amendment violation. First, the strip search in question was not objectively serious enough. Strip searches are common in prison, and inmates can reasonably expect to be subjected to a strip search at some point during their incarceration. Strip searches are, by their nature, unpleasant and embarrassing, but they don't violate the Eighth Amendment unless they're conducted with calculated harassment unrelated to prison needs. In this case, the strip search was justified by the need to produce an unadulterated urine sample and the need to provide an incentive for the inmate to produce the sample consistent with other time constraints of the correctional officer. In addition, there is no evidence in this case of intent to harm or harass. And in fact, all the evidence points to the other conclusion. Officer Nessick's actions were consistent with the state rules, the administrative code, the department-wide rule, and the prison procedure. At most, he made a mistake of prison procedure, but that mistake would be understandable given the other rules. And even if he violated a prison rule, that doesn't make a per se Eighth Amendment violation.
Second, what do the rules provide as to the time within which a prisoner will be required to produce a sample? I mean, if he doesn't produce a sample, how long do you wait?
I believe the Racine Correctional Institution policy and procedure allows for 8 hours to wait. This is, isn't unclosed.
Not standing up.
That's let me
a
give
little...
well, you answered my question.
It gives... If the staff can no longer wait for the inmate to provide the sample, the inmate shall be strip searched and detained in a room until he can provide the sample. He can be held for up to 8 hours to produce the sample.
Mr. Stern will have
a better case. Likely to be able to produce in 8 hours,
actually. Second, this type of strip search was not unusual, and it was done with as much privacy as possible, consistent with security and protection of inmates and staff. Third, Mr. Whitman admits that Nessick stood outside the bathroom stall and that he never touched Mr. Whitman, ridiculed him, made fun of him, threatened him, or expressed anger towards him in any way. Finally, there's no history of animosity between Officer Nessick and Mr. Whitman, and in fact, there's no evidence.
What was Whitman in prison for, or is in prison for? Do we know?
In his deposition, he characterized his offense as party to second-degree murder and party to first-degree sexual assault. With regard to Security Director Ellard, there's no evidence of personal involvement as required for a constitutional violation. He was not directly involved in the incident, and there was no causal connection between him and the incident. He didn't supervise Nessick or any of the other officers who conducted strip searches or urinalysis. There's no evidence that he knew that officers were conducting strip searches in violation of prison rules, or there's also no evidence that he encouraged officers to violate prison rules. In fact, he had no involvement in the matter whatsoever, except that he was familiar with the rules and after the fact in his deposition stated that he had no problem with what Officer Nessick did and that he believed that he had complied with the rules. With regard to our qualified immunity argument, unless the court has questions, I'll just rest on my brief for that point.
Okay, thank you very much, Ms. Keckhaver. Mr. Stern, how much time does he have?
I
have a doesn't work that way, but...
Whatever
so
time I have.
What do you
I
think
have.
Of that 8-hour rule, Stern?
I think it's
well-researched and based on case law and so on.
I don't have an opinion on it. I think placing someone in an area outside of the prison traffic and that type of thing.
Sitting naked for 8 hours? Or maybe you have to stand?
It depends on the room. It depends on the circumstances.
Well, depends on the temperatures.
Depends on a lot of things. And the court in this case did not take into consideration the circumstances, the hour, 3 in the morning, the effect of this on the inmate, the effect of the rules, or presumed to know those rules. And as far as intent, I just quote from Oliver Wendell Holmes, Jr., even a dog knows the difference between being stepped on and being kicked. I think that my client felt that he was subject to abuse. I think the circumstances indicate he was subject to abuse under the Eighth Amendment. As far as the immunity, one comment on that.
Actually, your time has expired.
Okay. Thank you, Judge.
So thank you very much to both counsel. And our case will be taken under advisement. Court will be at recess until 9:30 tomorrow.